Good morning, my dear friends. We are here, of course, as the show says, to wake up legendary. And today we have a guest that's going to help us do that. And as you can see from the title, 61-year-old shows you can retire in the style that you want. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Where are you calling in from?
I am in South Central Kentucky.
I couldn't tell by the Southern accent. Really?
That's what people say in my lives. Yeah, they know where I'm from.
Yeah. Well, my family's from Alabama, and then I got a mother from New York. I mean, I'm a what do they call that? Dogs a mutt? They call it mixed.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the best kind.
Yeah,
I'm originally from Eastern Kentucky, so always been a Kentucky girl.
Well, we have a couple of Kentucky people in the house and our community as well. We've got we got the Thompson family, and then there's I'm sure many more. So welcome to all the Kentuckians, and Lisa, welcome to Wake Up Legendary.
How's it
feel to be here?
Well, this was on my bucket list. When I started, I told my advisor, Antonio, I said, I'm going to be on there. So when I got the email, I thought, oh my God, I'm going to be on there, you know? So yeah, it's pretty exciting to have made that plan and it work out.
Very cool. Well, welcome. And I'm honored to be a part of your bucket list. So what brought you to Legendary? What were you looking for?
Well, I've been self-employed pretty much my whole life. My late husband and I started a pipeline construction business early 90s. Went great. We struggled. You know, everybody struggles when you start a business, and we struggled.
Wait, say that again?
Everyone struggles when they start a business. Nothing is easy. Nothing's easy. Anything that's really good is not pretty much easy unless you win the lottery or something. But we got it started. We were comfortable and living well. And then unexpectedly, he passed away. And my whole life shifted. I had to make some changes and had to make a lot of changes. One of the changes was not good. I made a bad mistake on who I used to take over his part of the business. And I lost everything I had, including my retirement account that was substantial. So you got to start over. And I'm not saying I didn't have a pity party. I was like the queen of pity parties, but finally I thought, you know, you're going to suck it up and start over, or you're going to continue in this. I got my bills to pay. I got this to pay. Nothing fixes it if you don't do something about it. So, you know, amazingly, I found Legendary, and I thought, what else could you do that, you know, you only pay $7 for to learn something that can make you so much money? I just can't comprehend it. And I get so passionate about it because it's there. And the company itself is, you know, everybody's so helpful that, well, the other day I emailed Antonio and he was in Brazil, but he answered me and he helped me with the problem I had. What else can, you know, I just never seen anything like this company that is so helpful to you, and you only paid $7. And it's taught me how to do this. You know, I'm not rich yet, but I'm learning. I learn every day. I can't hear you.
I'm not rich yet either. You got to keep raising the bar. Right. You know what I mean? You got to wake up in the morning like you're broke. You know, that keeps you motivated.
Exactly.
Well, golly, I am so sorry to hear, first of all, about your husband, second of all, about what happened after financially, and I am so thrilled that you got off that pin pot, and that you decided that, you know, you deserve to be fulfilled, you deserve to, you know, have a, you deserve to be passionate about something, and most of all, you can learn something new and be successful with it. Can you speak to the people who feel like they're either too young or too old?
Okay, this is what I say all the time in my lives. I'm 61 years old. I'm a high school graduate from a little bitty school in Eastern Kentucky. There were no computers. You know, we didn't have computers in high school. My biggest class was business math, where you learned to count money back to people and use a typewriter. That's what we had. And I have adult ADD, attention deficit disorder. So if I can
squirrel. Say what?
Yeah, squirrel. That's the squirrel. Right. That's the squirrel.
Me too.
Yeah. So my focus is small. But if you really want it and you dedicate yourself to it. You know, to me, it didn't come easy. I didn't just get that training and learn it and start the next day. It took me a while. I had to go over and over. This morning, I've been working on a funnel, and I have to go back to that original training and look and say, oh, yeah, that's how it works. But anything worth having is worth working for. It's not going to be handed to you. In my lifetime, it's not been, but the training itself is there. You just have to use it. You just have to use it and not, I tell everybody, don't rush yourself. You're not being graded. You're not being tested. Take your time until you learn it and forgive yourself if you mess up.
Yeah.
I mess up a lot. So
Jared said, took the 15-day challenge. Don't know where to start considering the blueprints. I want to answer that. I want you to answer it too. Jared, you've already started, my friend. Eliminate the language of that you don't know where to start. It's similar to the language of I'm struggling. It's projecting, and it's sort of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy almost. The more we speak negative things into existence. Mm-hmm. So similar to how Lisa, you just said, give yourself a break, you know, forgive yourself. Okay. There's a lot of grace that we need to give ourselves in this journey. We need to recognize ourselves. We need to, even if we've just begun taking the training and we're committed, you're already started. What's your next move, right? What's my next move?
Exactly.
You know, what's my next move? This is about chess, but you can also play checkers, right?
Exactly. You'll
get better at seeing a couple of moves ahead. But at the beginning, it's just, what's my next move? You know, sometimes when we come into entrepreneurship, we've got to work out a new muscle, which is being your own boss, telling yourself what to do, right? When we've been told what to do for so many decades. What's it been like for, and you had a business, of course, before this, but what was it like when you first started to be an entrepreneur? And I'm sure you had an employee position in that company, right?
Oh, yes, sir.
What is it like generally from your experience of doing it or watching it happen, the transition from going to employee to entrepreneur?
Right. Well, when you're an employee, you know, you learn your job and somebody says, okay, sit here, do this, get this done today, take a lunch break, then do this, and then go home. Well, when you're the owner, that's you. You have to decide what I'm going to do today to make this business better. What I'm going to do today to, you know, increase my profits or to build it bigger. It's up to you to do that. And that's a pretty different mindset. Actually, in my mind, it's easier to go somewhere and work than to, you know, you're responsible for what happens with that business. If it fails, you're responsible. If I get up in the morning and don't think, I don't want to make any videos, I don't want to check anything, that's my fault. That's on me. It's up to me to make those choices, to do what's going to better my life and my family's life. That's up to me. So you just have to make that mindset, you know, get up and get at it.
I like Elizabeth's comment, plan your work and work your plan.
Yeah, true. Yeah, sir.
Right. There's really nothing more than there in a business than that. And I think a lot of times we come into starting a business and we think there's a starting line and a finish line, right? I'm ready to get started. I'm wondering where to get started. I'm waiting to get started. I don't know where to get started. And once I do finally figure that out, I'm going to go for a little bit and then there's going to be a finish line, right? Wrong.
It's 24/7.
Well, there's no starting line and there's no finish line, right? The starting line is you won't know the starting line for a couple of months or years before you can actually go back and look at your past and say, you know what? I started thinking about entrepreneurship long before I started that affiliate marketing stuff, or right? It's like, who cares where the starting line is? Know that there's no finish line. And it's just every single day, plan your work, work your plan for that day. As Elizabeth says, what is your daily, what are the income producing activities? There's obviously activities, Lisa, that we can do that are busy work. There's activities that we can do that make us feel like we're doing things, but maybe we're just kind of avoiding doing work. What are the income producing activities that you've identified that you need to do every day?
I think I have to look, and I have to, I watch a lot of the, you know, the people on here that are doing really well. I watch them and see, you know, how they do their lives, how they do their videos. And I don't copy them, but I kind of look at how they do content. As far as making, you know, I'm always looking to ways to make more money. So I look at other opportunities that I maybe can add on to Legendary, you know, and put in my emails, ways to, or maybe help people that are starting and make it a little easier for them to find the right websites to use. Maybe free. There's so many resources that are free. So many websites you can use to build, you know, all you need in your business. And so I'm always looking for that stuff because it interests me so much. I'm not a big television watcher, so I'm Googling and I'm looking for ways to make more money. And well, you know, I don't mean to sound greedy, but that's what I'm doing.
Well, no, what you said was you're interested in this.
I am. Right? I'm very interested in it.
And so you're in this phase right now of what I call ignorance on fire, there, right? And what that means is, that's not an insult. I love to be in ignorance on fire, mm-hmm. because ignorance on fire is where I don't know too much to where I'm getting in my own way.
Right.
You know, it's like sometimes I watch my father do this a lot as we were working construction. He knew so much about so many things, he might overanalyze something and then it'd take longer to do the job. I learned a lot of these lessons, right? Where another plumber would come in with a lot less knowledge than he had, or another carpenter, and just kind of bang it out. And it wasn't perfect as my dad mm-hmm. would do it, but it was done, and it was good enough. And so, you know, there's a beauty in ignorance on fire. To where you're on fire, you're interested in something, and you don't know so much yet.
Exactly.
Where you're confusing yourself. And I would actually challenge and invite everybody to embrace your ignorance on fire. Mm-hmm. If you don't know a lot, but you got a lot of energy and you're excited and you're interested, just start throwing spaghetti at the wall.
Exactly.
Just start doing something. I mean, just build the dang funnel, post the dang videos, post 50 videos, post videos until you have no more energy. I mm-hmm. promise out of those 50 videos, you will see a pattern of what is working for you. Yeah. But as long as you're sitting there and that ignorance is just, it's cold. It's still, you're frozen. Nothing's going to get done. Uh-uh. You know, nothing's going to get in ignorance on fire happens in relationships. It happens ever. Think about the honeymoon phase of a relationship when you just don't really know each other yet and you're going crazy with each other. We all have, I mean, the same thing happens in like a job. You're so excited about a roommate. You're so excited. They're your best friend. 6 months later, you hate them. You know, you have that ignorance on fire. What's it like been like for you to be new at something again, Lisa? And where have you found the humility, and where have you found the ability to ask and really truly embrace where you're at?
It's you know, if you've been your own boss for a long time, it's hard. It's hard to realize there's a lot of stuff I don't know. You know, but instead of being embarrassed about it, I realized no one knows what they're doing when they start. No one, you know, you have to learn things. My advisor said, I've got a sign over here. He said, chase the skill, not the money. Because once I got started and I'd spent some money, I thought, I got to make money. You know, I got to pay that money back. But once I calmed down and learned and kept learning, you know, that the money comes. You just have to forgive yourself and realize I'm not going to be perfect. My first video, I don't know how many times I recorded that video, and it's still awful. But now I just, you know, it hits me. I make it. I post it. Doesn't have to be perfect. That's what I tell people in my life. You don't have to be perfect. You have to be real. Let mm-hmm. people understand that I'm just a 61-year-old grandma that didn't know, still don't know what I'm doing. But I'm trying, and that's what matters. You got to try your best and be honest. And learn all you can, and the money will come eventually. So.
And let me propose something, because I have had a unique experience over the last month and a half with my father being in the ICU and now another hospital. Mm-hmm. And he's doing okay. Slowly, he's getting better, but it's not a guarantee that he's going to fully recover. And I'm going to tell you something. At the end, my friends, nobody's going to give a damn about your ego. Nobody's asking about whether you did or didn't, you know, poster. Nobody gives a damn at the end. Like if you're sick or if you die suddenly, or if your life is just over, nobody's going to be talking about any of this stuff. Nobody's going to be talking about any of this stuff. The only thing they might talk about is how brave you were, how you went after what you wanted, how you did it your way. They might talk about those things. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, the things that I'm talking about in the hospital with my dad right now are like how he used to coach my baseball as a child, how he taught me everything about construction, how he's a master craftsman, how he's there for everybody. If they need him, we'll give them the shirt off his back. We're not talking about all the silly stuff that we fret over every single day. And I'm sure you had that same experience with your husband. Again, my condolences for that. Talk to us about why the small things don't matter.
Because in the end, it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to remember what you did to make a living, or nobody's going to remember. They're going to remember you and who you are and how you impacted their life. They're not going to remember any of that nonsense. I have so many people say, you know, I don't want to go on Facebook because people know me. People don't care about, you know, they don't care about that. They care about you, your heart, how you treated them. That's what they care about. So that's what I want. I want my daughter to remember that, you know, I loved her. I worked hard to make her life better, to make our life better. That's what matters. But, you know, people don't give a crap about that kind of stuff. I don't think the people that matter don't.
And they're not going to remember you for either. They're not going to remember you even because you succeeded at something.
Exactly.
They're going to remember you and talk about that you tried, that you were willing to take a risk. Like, think about it. Like, we should all take an hour and write out a eulogy for ourselves. Like, that would be a really powerful exercise. And are you writing down, do you want in your eulogy, and do you think anybody's going to be, he was sucked at making funnels at first, or, you know, he recorded his first video on social media 50 times, or she, you know, had a hard time connecting her funnel with her autoresponder, or none of that stuff is going to be there.
Yeah.
Besides kind of the philosophy of living that you've sort of, you know, articulated to us, how else do you not sweat the small things? Do you, if somebody makes a negative comment, do you block immediately? Do you have boundaries around sharing with friends and family so you're not sweating what they have to say? How do you protect your mindset?
No, I don't. I mean, my family knows what I'm doing. They don't understand it. You know, most people, they don't understand it. I got to say this really quick thing about my mom. My mom's 83, and she's on Facebook, but, you know, I said, Mom, it's kind of like I'm advertising products that I don't own, and if they sell, I get a commission. So I had shared something that a friend had, I think they had a boat for sale, and I had shared it. She said, now, do you get part of that money if that boat sails? So, you know, people don't comprehend it. And so I don't really worry about that. I don't, because I guess once you get to this age, so much crap has happened to you. That's no big deal. That is no big deal about, you know, what people think or what.
Well, I'm 22 years younger, my dear, and I think I'm there as well.
Yeah. And they don't pay your bills. I always say that. They're not going to pay your bills. So don't worry about what they think.
think about, you know, I mean, I have to live the same philosophy. There's people out there. I get daily reports that this person's copying Legendary. This person's throwing Legendary on the under the bus.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to tell all of you people who love our community and our company, why I don't come out and even say people's names if they're doing that, because I'm not going to give them that free advertising. Mm-mm. It's a strategy thing for me. Every single person that has either tried to copy us or throw us under the bus has not lasted. Why? It's not because me, it's not because I do anything. It's because that's an unsuccessful way to market. To try to, right? So that's an example of small stuff to me. The more successful you get, the more things are going to happen, the bigger the bullseye is going to be on your back. So it's good. It's a good practice as you're new to be able to laugh at self and laugh at others, kind of like you are with mom. It's like, yeah,
you got to have a thick skin, because, you know, people say stuff. I've had so many comments. I made a video about wanting to retire comfortably, and you know, people are saying, well, if you're working, you're not retired. Well, this isn't work to me. This isn't work, you know. And then I've had a lot of bad comments. You should have saved and all this stuff. Well, I did. And what I want to do immediately is buy it back. But, you just don't, because that only gets another. I have people arguing in my comments with each other about things. And I think, you know, people, there's so much more in the world to worry about. Than silly stuff like that. So you just learn. I learned to, now I have a quick trigger, but I've learned to just be calm, and those people don't really, what they think is not going to change my life. So I just worry about me and my family and taking care of us. So,
well, that's a great philosophy, and mm-hmm. it's a wonderful philosophy. It sounds very easy in practice. For those who are maybe have not gone through the life experiences that you have and are a little bit more feisty and a little bit more, you know, a little bit more easily offended, you know, that can be hard. But boy, there's some wisdom that you're sharing with everybody if we can hear it right now, and we can learn from it, because you're right. Having thick skin is not a bad thing. You know, I was told by a therapist one time that I had thin skin and I need to thicken it up. And I thought, oh, really? I thought I was a tough guy. I thought I was a tough guy. Okay. And so I realized, it's like, I need to stop being easily offended. Like, I need to stop being so, you know, if somebody has they make a facial expression, or they roll their eyes, or they don't like what I'm doing, I don't have to. I mean, and I did that.
Everybody does.
Well, you know, it's like somebody rolls their eyes. Did you just roll your eyes at me? Like, who gives a damn? I mean, exactly. I hope they don't, you know, as I get older, I think, I hope they don't stay that way. And then I just turn around and walk away. And it's about maturing in life, but it's also about maturing in business. We realize, and you know this too as a business owner, that nothing's going to kill your business really except you, exactly. Right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's the only thing that's going to make you, I want everybody to listen to this and maybe write this down. Nothing is going to kill your business except you.
Exactly.
Except me from quitting, or from worrying what others think too much, or from having too thin skin, or quitting, and then eventually getting like embarrassed or feeling like overwhelmed or feeling spread too thin and saying, oh, this is too much. But this is not how I'm interpreting this, and what I'm doing in terms of catastrophic thinking is the problem. Right?
Exactly.
That's the problem. What else do you do to help with mindset and stay? Or do you listen to these wake up legendaries? Do you listen to podcasts?
Mm-hmm. I've read all the books about, you know, about making money, being, you know, making money on your own and not working for somebody else, and how to make your money work for you. That's what I listen to. I don't listen to the radio in my car. I have books on my phone, which, you know, I don't know how many I've got, but I listen to those. because, you know, I just want to feed myself positive things, because you can listen. I don't listen to the news. One time at church, the preacher said, listening to the news is like drinking poison. And it's true, because it's just bad news. I don't need bad news. I need good news. I need happy news. I need, right, you know, because bad stuff does happen, but you don't have to listen to it. Just fill your mind with good stuff and good thoughts and positive thoughts. And, or you can wake up in the morning and say, man, my bills are due and I can't pay them. Or you can wake up and think, okay, I'm going to do something today to make sure that's those are paid and that's taken care of.
Yeah. If anything, think about it like this. I want everybody to look at it, not just, I want everybody to look at it from both a logical and an emotional level. You just laid out the emotional standpoint of kind of the emotional value and the spiritual value of not watching news and not taking in negative information. There's a logical value to it though, as well. And the logical value is that it's really not useful, because the reason why news companies do it is because people won't pay attention as much to positive news. So take that now logically into your marketing and ask yourself, instead of just going on, like, there's a lot of marketers in various niches who don't get a lot of traction because they're too positive, right? Because you're always only spreading good news. So let that be a lesson to know that people are, they break their neck. They can't stop watching gossip or something that they feel is like a train wreck, right? So what we do a lot of times in marketing is we use certain hooks at the beginning of our video to try to hook people in, to let them think that we're going to tell a really bad story. Right? Hey, let me tell you about how I went absolutely broke and homeless at 23, and I turned it completely around with affiliate marketing. I was on the streets, right? Then you get in right into the middle of the negativity, because people, that's what they, I mean, if we think about even movies, there's death, there's murder, there's all, why? Because human beings enjoy watching that. It's entertaining. It's not soul filling. It's just, you can't look away. So it keeps you watching, right? Drama. Think back to even soap operas and stuff. My grandma used to watch them, and people were cheating on each other and lying and all this kind of stuff. I mean, she was a very sweet little old lady, and she was like wondering who was going to get cheated on next, you know, and who is going to, I mean, because human beings are just, we just can't stop watching that. And so it's so useful to know what is good for my spirit, but also how to use these strategies, because CNN, Fox, ABC or not, they are very particular about the stories that they choose. They want the most negativity, the most shock value, the most sensationalism. That's what they want. And so we know that that can be difficult. That can be poisonous, as your pastor said, but we can use that strategy, just like Antonio, the BPA said, don't focus on the money, focus on the skill. What is the skill in that situation? Well, the skill is hooking people with sensational hot headlines and telling stories that keep them glued to the TV. And it, the reason why the cat getting rescued out of the tree is in the last 30 seconds of the news is because people aren't glued to their TV sitting there. People, they don't want you to totally relax when you're watching TV. Then you're going to fall asleep. They want you to be engaged, wondering, oh my God, what's going to happen next type of thing. So we can take that skill and we can apply it, knowing that it can be bad for us, but we can use it to, you know, hook people into our content, even if ultimately our content turns out to be positive at the end. Those kind of shocking, scary, you know, type of headlines or hooks that we use at the beginning of our videos are better to hook them in and get them watching, right? What's it been like for you to get on camera? Something that maybe you probably never did before, if I was to guess.
No, I'm not even, you know, I want to take the pictures. I don't want to be in the pictures. And I never get up and talk in front of people. You know, I'm in the back of the room and just quiet and listen. So that was really hard. That first live, I wanted to do it from under my desk because I thought, oh my gosh, if I don't hyperventilate. So it was tough. It was tough. But the just like anything else, the more you do it, the easier it gets. I don't pay a bit of attention now when I do a live. You know, I'm just hoping somebody will come on there and talk to me. Doesn't bother me at all. But starting out, it was rough, you know. But you just have to keep on doing it. It's like riding a bicycle. You just got to keep on doing it until you get, you know, better at it and better. So
yeah,
that's what I did. I just kept on doing it.
Well, what I just heard was, and I'd like to show this to everybody because it's a really powerful illustration of exactly what you just explained. Okay. And it's a very simple 4-stage process. Let me try to see if I can. Let me just window. Yeah, I think this is it. Okay. Can you see this? Can you see the process of learning?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So what you just described was the 4th stage of the process of learning something. And the 1st stage is unconscious incompetence, where you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
Okay, this is kind of like where we, okay? The 2nd phase is conscious incompetence, where you know what you don't know. You know you have limitations, right? You understand something, but you're beginning to realize that there's a lot to learn, right? Kind of like what most of you are probably in right now. You're like more of in a conscious incompetence. You're like, okay, I realize there are some things I don't know and I need to make some decisions. How do I want to learn it? Do I want to do it here at Legendary? Do I want to go do it on my own? Do I want to go to YouTube University? Whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. The next phase, conscious competence. You know what you know, right? Or you know what you know, right? You have to actively think about it, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to do a talk and it's completely scripted out or it's bulleted out. And I know exactly what to say because I pre-planned it, right? Then you get to the 4th and final stage, which is unconscious competence. And that's where you see superstar athletes, singers, world-renowned speakers, keynote speakers, motivational speakers, people in the marketing industry, people in our industry, to where what you know is second nature. And you just kind of described that a little bit with kind of going on live and not really thinking about it like you did at the beginning. Does this resonate with you as I explain and you see this?
Exactly. I mean, I get it. I've never seen that, but that's kind of the stages you go through. I know I'm not good at it, but I keep doing it every day. So I've told myself I'm good at it, you know, but people keep coming listening to me. So I guess that's unconscious competence.
Yeah. It is. And you know what? The majority of your life is unconscious competence, my friend.
True that.
The majority of your life, and I want to even further drive this home, because your body's doing things internally, like pumping your heart, that you're not telling it to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you need a pacemaker if that connection gets somehow limited, but most of you don't have one of those, right? And even if you do, your body's still doing lots of unconscious things without you asking it to. The same thing with our kids. We first have kids. We don't know anything. We're like, oh my God, I'm going to try not to kill them. Right. And then before you know it, you're throwing shit. You got 3 babies over your shoulders. You're singing while you're feeding one, while you're cooking dinner, you know, while you're giving your, you know, spouse a back massage. I mean, it's like, this is a process that we've all already gone through. And what I ask you all to do is trust that that's going to happen here as well. You know? And I think every person that's on this show can somewhat, you know, attest to that being the process, right, Lisa? I mean, not just in life, but here too. This is not something so different that you need a whole different set of life skills in order to learn it. It's just, you don't know what you don't know. Then all of a sudden you ran into us and it's like, well, son of a gun, can I actually develop some skills and build a business online? Okay. You watch a couple of videos and it's like, now you know that you don't know, but you know it exists, right? And it's just a very kind of simple four-step process we all take. And for each one of us, Lisa, it can take a different amount of time. How do you not get caught up in comparisonitis?
Well, because I guess it's an age thing. I'm not competing with anyone. I'm not competing with anyone except myself. I'm happy for the people that are making that kind of money. It's awesome. And I don't begrudge them anything, and I don't compare myself to them because they've been at it a lot longer than I have. They probably had more skills to start with than I did. So I can't, it's apples and oranges. I can't compare myself to anybody but myself. I can't compete with anyone but myself. And that's what I'm doing every day. I think I'm going to do better than I did yesterday. I'm going to get a little bit stronger, make more better videos. That's who I compete with, is me. And that's just maybe an age thing. You learn that.
You learn that because what could you, like earlier in life, would you say if you were to compare that, compare your comparisonitis now to then, was it much more drastic 20 years ago?
Exactly. Yeah.
Kind of keeping up with the Joneses. What is he wearing? What is she driving?
I got to drive that kind of car because she's got that kind of car.
Yeah.
Now I figure if it starts when I go out there, I'm good. I'm good to go. So
good God almighty. You said a mouthful right there, girlfriend. You dang right, because I tell you what, I got a nice car sitting out there in the driveway. It doesn't even matter what kind it is. I'm not going to tell you. But it ain't doing nothing but just sitting there driving me to the hospital, go visit my dad. Right. I mean, people think you're going to get rich and then all of a sudden you're just going to go. And it's like, man, I want to get rich and be anonymous. You know, most of you are going to get rich and then be like, I don't even want all that attention.
No.
Let me just go on ahead and stick with my car that I'm driving now. And just, you know what I'm going to do if it breaks down, I'm going to have somebody come and pick it up and not worry about how much it cost.
Exactly.
I'm going to stop looking at the right hand side of the menu all the time. Right. Exactly. That's what I'm going to do. But I tell you, I think another thing about age is that, you know, you realize that you need less, right? And when we're in our 30s, in 20s, 30s, 40s, maybe even 50s, I don't know, but because I'm not there yet, but we just accumulate a lot of stuff. We think we need a nice car, a certain amount of square footage in the house. What have you found out about your actual needs?
They're very few. I think that's why there's so many self-storages now, because people have so much stuff, they don't have room for it. Well, you don't need it if you have to go rent something and put it in there. But, you know, that's just something you learn. I, at one time, had a big, beautiful home that I'd dreamed of my whole life overlooking the lake. And that's something else I lost. But I'm okay. It was hard right then, but I mean, I still live in a nice, comfortable home. As long as you're comfortable and you're content with yourself and your heart and your mind, that's all you need. You don't need all that stuff. It's nice to be able to buy it if you want it, but you don't need it. You just need to be comfortable and be happy with yourself and how you're living, just the kind of person you are. But you don't need all that stuff. That's just more stuff that somebody's going to have to get rid of someday when you die. That's the way I look at it.
And isn't that the truth coming from somebody who knows?
Yeah.
Coming from somebody who knows.
Exactly.
God, I'm sorry you had to go through that, but you learned a whole lot there.
Right.
You really did. And you're sharing a lot of that wisdom with us this morning, finding a strength inside of your struggle. See, my friends, I talk about turning your mess into a message. And that's what you've done, Lisa. Do you realize that? I mean, it's like, hey, I had a dadgum mess here. Okay. My husband was not supposed to pass. This whole business debacle after he passed was not what we envisioned our life being. And that was a dadgum mess. You even said it. I sat on the pity pot for a long time, but you're turning that mess into a message. And it's not, even this morning, it's like people are just overwhelmed with the inspiration, with you sharing. What has that taught you about the power of, even if you're scared, even if you don't feel like you have anything to say or share, or nobody's going to listen to you, to go open your mouth and start talking, start sharing, start believing in yourself just enough to get it out there and test it, and not just continue to say, I don't have anything to share, or nobody would listen to little old me.
I just want people, and I did this, you know, my daughter was 10 years old, and I told her then, we're going to get through this one day at a time. Actually, she got a tattoo. I didn't care for it, but she got a tattoo that said one day at a time. You have to take life because, you know, it's going to be, stuff's going to be thrown at you every day. Bad things, good things, every day. And you just have to live with it and build yourself and be better and maybe be an inspiration to somebody else that goes through bad stuff, because we all go through bad stuff. We all do. Mm-hmm. Some worse than others. But, you know, don't stay in under the bed. Get up. Change your life if you want to change it. And for me to be on here talking to you, I just can't even believe it's real, because that's not me. That's not me to do that. But life did that to me. Life changed me to be that kind of person, instead of, you know, hiding behind the scene and waiting for somebody else to fix things.
How long ago did your husband pass? How long has it been now?
It was 2005.
2005.
18 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, boy, you got so much life experience to share. It's just really unbelievable, Lisa. I'm glad that you, and that was my point. It's like, I devalue my life experience. We all do. Okay. And sometimes we get around or in relationships where others devalue it too. And then we start to begin to believe that we don't have anything to offer. But let's just talk about me for a second and just leave the whole potential victim stancing completely out of the picture. Because as Lisa said, it's me against me every day. It's me against me. If somebody's not serving me, I need to have boundaries and move forward. Protect my heart, protect my spirit. But it's me against me. And I have to, you know, as I loved what you said earlier in the show, forgive myself. Why did you choose those words specifically?
Because I felt like a failure, you know, because my late husband and I had built that company. I mean, starved and scratched and, you know, stayed up nights working. And, you know, I remember our first big check we got, which was a very substantial check. We owed it all, because, you know, nearly all of it. So when I thought about, I felt like the failure, you know, when I lost everything. And I had to forgive myself and realize, you know, maybe you did fail. Maybe you did make some mistakes and pick the wrong people to do things. But you got to suck it up. You got to suck it up. You can't keep on feeling sorry for yourself and putting yourself down, because if you do, you're never going to get back up. If you don't forgive yourself and start over, it's never going to get better. If you don't make it better yourself, nobody's going to do it for you. And I wanted my daughter to see, no matter what, you can fix it. You can fix it. And, you know, she's awesome. She's the best thing I ever did. You know, she's got a great job, great education.
Mm.
Beautiful daughter. So, you know, so I think I instilled that in her, because yeah, she's got that same thoughts. And, you know, that's what you do. You just do the best you can with what you got.
Well, I'd like to bring the show in for a landing on that note, because the time has flown by and you've just been an absolute blast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Just an absolute blast. And really, I mean that. It's so nice to hear some of these things that you've been sharing, and they've been little nuggets, and that's why I've brought them back up, like this forgiveness thing. Who would have ever thunk that starting a business might require you to forgive yourself?
Yeah.
Who would have thunk?
Right.
You know, but that just might be the thing that's holding a lot of you back, you know, is that maybe you do feel like a failure from something you've done in the past, and now you haven't forgiven yourself and allowed yourself to be a human,
right,
and imperfect. And then now, ooh, sheesh, you've started something here and maybe you feel like a failure already. Maybe that old, those old thoughts and feelings, you're bringing that baggage into this new relationship. And it's going to take a couple of I forgive yous. I forgive you for the past. I forgive, when I say you, I mean me. I forgive me for bringing that old baggage into this new relationship. And I just forgive myself for making that mistake as well. It's like there's an endless amount of things that you can just keep forgiving yourself for. Like every time you get down on yourself, every time you start to feel overwhelmed or like you can't do it, hey, man, I forgive you for feeling like this right now. It's okay. It's kind of like, what do you need if you were a baby starting this? And it's like, I can tell you what my baby toddler son, 2 years old, needs is constant. Like, he wants to go run through a brick wall, get hurt, and then come back and me to love him, hold him, kiss his boo-boos, and tell him that it's going to be okay. And as soon as I do that, because I do what I've learned about my son in little kids, and this partly is because I'm interested in psychology and what that stage between 0 and 7, I talk about that in the challenge, and it's a fact. That's a very important time in our lives. But what I noticed about him is that as soon as I like just kiss it, and it's not a, you'll be okay, I allow for forgiveness in that moment, right? Like, I forgive you for doing that silly thing. I allow him to just ugly cry it out. I kiss his foot or whatever, and instantly he stops crying and goes back to playing. Now, when I say, you're okay, get back up, you're a tough boy, he keeps crying.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because he's not able to just forgive himself, and he's not feeling forgiveness and love from me in that moment as his father, who's the most important person in his life right now. And so we need to father and mother ourselves through this process. Because like you said, Lisa, you're not going to call your 81 or 3-year-old mother and explain what you're doing, and her to say, just forgive yourself for messing up that funnel and keep going, Lisa. She doesn't even understand. Our parents are not able to parent us as adults. They're dealing with the cycle, right? They change us, then we change them. They take care of us, then we take care of them. It's that kind of a thing. So we have to parent ourselves through this process of entrepreneurship and forgive. I could rant about this all day because this is everything. This is everything. It's like I mess up 50,000 times a day. And if I wore that and carried each mistake around with me, put it in a bag like a rock, Lisa, no wonder I'm feeling so heavy. No wonder I'm feeling so overwhelmed, right? If you're used to putting that rock in the bag, at least cut the damn bag and trick yourself, right? Metaphorically speaking, forgive yourself. That is, I just wish that everybody would write that down on a little sticky note, just like I do, and just stick it right there to your computer so you can see it every single day when you sit down and when you start to get down on yourselves. And I want you to remember that Lisa Johnson over at Make Money with Lisa _online on TikTok told you to do it. Lisa, it's been a pleasure. Final thought. What's your final thought and final piece of wisdom that you would give yourself that you may have needed to hear when you first got started?
You can do anything that you set your mind to and that you want badly enough. You might not do it the first time or the second time, but you keep trying and you can do it. That's my thoughts every day. Try again today, you know, do better today than I did yesterday. And anybody can do that. You just got to forgive yourself for all your mistakes and start again. Just start again every day doing your best, and good things are going to happen. Eventually, good things are going to happen.
Yes, yes, yes. In between the bad things.
Oh, yeah.
The bad things are going to happen, too.
You betcha. They're going to knock you down.
Yeah, expect those, right? And when they happen, you laid out such a formula today. It's so simple. When they happen, forgive yourself and keep expecting good things. Mm-hmm. Keep looking for the good things. Yeah. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate this company.
Appreciate you as well. Come back and see me. Stay legendary, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, my friends, go follow, go find, go listen, go learn, go support Lisa over at make money with Lisa_online over on TikTok. And my friends, what a formula, what a blueprint, okay, for mental and emotional success today as an entrepreneur. Lisa laid it out for you. It's worth a re-listen. Take a couple of notes. Get a few sticky notes. Stick those little phrases and sayings right there where you can read them every day. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself for even the little mistake that you already made today, because Lord knows you made one. I did too, right? I tried to pour the coffee because I was doing a thing, and I poured it here and tried to do, and you know, that's a silly thing to do because it ran all down the cup and made a huge mess. Man, Dave, I forgive you. That really is a formula that works in any moment, any situation, but especially when you're starting a brand new business. This is a big thing. Give yourself some credit and also give yourself a break. It is not a race, my friends. It's a marathon. There's not a start and a finish line. This is a journey, and you've opted to go on this journey. So put your seatbelt on and enjoy the adventure. Be legendary, my friends. I'll see you back here tomorrow for another episode. Get out of here. Peace.